I think I heard the whisper from my producer that Chris Meany is on the line, and he's been on before. Great guest, host of Mean Streets and the Dangle Bet Sally podcast, stakeholder with FTN Network, FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets, basically everything FTN related. Chris, thank you so much for joining the show. And I just want to get just again, could you explain to the audience where they can find your work and the work that you do with FTN?
Yeah, I appreciate that. We have our own FTN Network YouTube page where we stream a lot of our shows. Mean yep. Streets is a Monday to Friday show at 12 Eastern. We stream it. It airs on Game Plus Network at 2 Eastern. We actually launched a couple new shows over at Game Plus this week, Game Plus Network and a part of Anthem Sports and Entertainment. MLB Picks and Props, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We stream that at 1:30. It airs at 6 Eastern on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And a brand new show with Eric Young, who is, people may know him from his work in the ring, but also my co-host, Dangle Batselli, which is a hockey show. We'll be back very soon, but we have Set Bet Spike, which is kind of like a little bit of a spinoff of Dangle Batselli. And it is a football show on Tuesdays and Thursdays, streamed live at 10 Eastern from our FTN Network YouTube page. And again, on Game Plus at 6 Eastern on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're just rolling through some NFL team previews as preseason got underway.
I was watching. Yeah, it's funny. And by the way, here's the versatility of Chris Meany. At one point, he is talking about the NFL. I think it was the Baltimore Ravens previewing the Bengals. And in the middle of it, you mentioned Patrice Bergeron's new one-year deal with the Boston Celtics, or Boston Bruins, excuse me. So certainly a lot of versatility. So once again, what's the best website? If you could tell one website for people to go, where would they go?
Well, if you're looking for just fantasy football content and season-long content, it would be ftnfantasy.com. If you're looking to, dive into maybe a little bit of betting and things like that, ftnbets.com. But we do have FTN Daily as well. But I'll throw out FTN Fantasy and ftnbets.com. Our betting package is you get all the sports, all the picks, access to some tools and Discord channel and all those things. So I appreciate the plug off the top. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I sometimes want to do that because on this show, we're bringing in more people that have more of a relationship with sports betting. And I want to make sure that people at the top sort of understand who they are listening to. You mentioned on your show just about like monitoring and keeping an eye on what's going on with it is super early, but early NFL mock drafts. And again, for people out there that aren't into fantasy, Chris's answer here, it's a fantasy football answer, but really all it is it's football preview for the 2022 season. So I'm curious what you've been seeing in any early mock drafts, any trends or that have stuck out for you.
Yeah, it's, some people will certainly, dive a little bit too much into some practice reports. I know you definitely want to follow them. You want to see some, players that are getting, first down opportunities, first down reps, second down reps, running with the first team offense. Now, most teams will, maybe give their star running backs a little bit of a break in some of those practices. But we are seeing some rookies and some sophomores get a real opportunity to run first team offense as we get closer to the NFL season. There's you start to get it. I've been doing them for a couple months now, and you start to see some players certainly rise up draft boards. There's a couple rookies in particular that I think are in really good landing spots, and anywhere from rounds maybe 8 to 10. There are 4 or 5 rookie running backs who could make some noise this year in the NFL. I'll start with James Cook out of Buffalo. The Bills haven't had a pass catching running back in quite some time. Now Devin Singletary can do a little bit of that. And, you got to go all the way back to LeSean McCoy in Buffalo days when they really had a running back that can give them something out of the backfield, take a 5-yard screen pass and take it to the house. So Cook, brother of Dalvin, who's with the Minnesota Vikings, is a great pass catcher himself. But the Bills were really after a pass catching running back. They thought they had J.D. McKissic, who was just 2 years removed from 80 catches with Washington. They thought they had him signed. It didn't work out. He went back to Washington. And then they spent a second-round pick, which is pretty significant to spend a second-round pick on a running back. Buffalo Bills don't have a lot of holes on their roster. They're Super Bowl favorites. They have a really complete team on both sides of the football. But Cook gives them something a little bit more. So I think he's in a decent landing spot. He's starting to move up draft boards a little bit. I think there's certainly value with Damian Pierce, Houston Texans running back, who really only has to battle with Marlon Mack, who's a veteran back who hasn't really done a whole lot over the past couple of seasons. He's like 3 or 4 years removed from his best campaign, which was a 1,000-yard season with the Colts, but he did rupture his Achilles a couple years ago, and I don't think he can really handle full workload. And Rex Burkhead, another veteran back who's on that squad. So Pierce doesn't have a lot of competition. He's running with first-team offense. I know it's the Texans. They're going to be playing from behind a little bit. I think he can provide maybe 30-plus catches as well. And then one more rookie running back that I think is starting to jump up draft boards, but I really, really think he's a solid pick in around round 9 or 10, is Tyler Allgeier, who I didn't really love coming out of college, but he is a big body back who can catch the rock out of the backfield. But I just really like his landing spot. And you know, I'm talking about two running backs on teams that aren't going to be really good this year, in Houston and Atlanta. But sometimes that's everything. It's opportunity. I think both of these rookies are in really good spots to lead their team in touches, you know, first down, second down, goal line work. Cordarrelle Patterson had a really strong season last year. That could be the outlier. He's been around for a few years on multiple teams, and good on Atlanta to kind of make it work with him there. But he's not a running back that can handle 10 to 15 carries between the tackles. Like, Allgeier should be the lead there. Damian Williams is on the roster, another guy that's not going to run between the tackles. So those are two running backs that I think are in really good landing spots, and they're getting an opportunity right off the hop to be the starting running backs on these teams.
Yeah, it's important what Chris is saying, that it's not just about talent. It is also about opportunity. And I feel bad for Cordell Patterson. He's, you know, very talented, but no one trusts him. It just looks weird. It looks weird seeing him in the backfield. I don't trust the jersey number. It doesn't work for me. So here's a question I've been throwing out a lot. Who are you more afraid of drafting, Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley?
Oh, great question. Both of these guys are going outside the top 10 at the running back position. I think they can be both game changers. You know, I think I'm more willing to roll the dice on Saquon. He's had a couple freak injuries lately. The offensive line is revamped in New York with the Giants. I thought they had a pretty good draft. And Brian Daboll coming over from Buffalo to, you know, New York is such a huge win. It's an acquisition that I don't know if people would talk about that being a top five addition to a team. They'd look at maybe, you know, a quarterback deciding like Russell Wilson to Denver, or like running backs going from another team, or wide receivers like Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill, Miami and Las Vegas. But Brian Daboll is a heck of a play caller, and he did wonders with Josh Allen. You saw a big leap from year 2 to 3. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is going to make that kind of leap, but he's just a really good play caller. Last year, we saw no creativity at all with the Giants, whether it was Jason Garrett or, you know, Joe Judge. I think they ran a quarterback sneak from their own 8 on 3rd and 8 last year, which is just...
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. I'm a Giants fan. I remember that moment. I remember that moment.
Remember that one.
Yeah,
certainly
yeah.
Do. You know, Saquon had moments last year. There was a game against the Saints where he flashed a little bit of what he showed as a rookie, catching balls out of the backfield. You know, already in practice, they got guys moving in motion, which is just key, right? Dable's going to bring some creativity to that offense. So I'm willing to roll the dice on Saquon. You know, Zeke had a down year, but he still finished with 1,000 rushing yards and double-digit rushing touchdowns. But it was a career low in terms of opportunities, attempts on the ground, targets and catches. And Tony Pollard's a really good running back, and he's going to be sprinkled into that backfield as well. There's no competition in New York. So as long as Zeke can stay healthy, this is a guy who should finish top five in touches.
Yeah. The Brian Daboll is definitely a huge improvement. As a Giants fan, I'm still stuck in Gettleman nightmares. And so there is no joy in my heart. We're joined by Chris Meaney from the FTN Network, FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets. You mentioned Russell Wilson. Before the injury, the first 5 or 6 weeks, he was one of the top guys in so many different passing metrics. What are reasonable expectations for both him and the Broncos offense now that it's certainly an upgrade from what they had at the quarterback position?
Absolutely. This is a team that I think is a Super Bowl contender now that they have Russ, who has won a Super Bowl before and has been to a couple. You know, the defense is very, very strong. The offensive line is good. They got probably one of the better 1-2 punches out of the backfield in Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, who had a really good season last year and they decided to bring back. You know, a tough blow for them last week to lose Tim Patrick due to an injury. He led the Broncos in end zone targets last year. He was going to be one of my sleeper wide receivers. But, you know, two really strong weapons in Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, and Russell Wilson was able to support Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf for, you know, for years. And Russell Wilson's been one of the most accurate quarterbacks since we've seen him in the NFL when he was drafted in 2011 from, you know, from Seattle. And, you know, he fell down draft boards that year. I believe he went in the third round. And he's one of the better quarterbacks in that class. You know, just looking at some of our metrics over at FTN, Cortland Sutton was inside the top 10 in deep target percentage, deep target targets. Those are targets of at least 20 yards down the field. He stretches the field, and that's what Russell Wilson is known for. You know, he did that with Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett also among the leaders in deep target percentage. And Russell Wilson, nobody threw more passes 20 yards down the field than him. He was actually tied with Josh Allen, but he played fewer games, as you mentioned, with the finger injury. So I think this is a match made in heaven for these two guys. Russell Wilson, Cortland Sutton, you know, high ADOT, average depth of target down the field, didn't really have any accurate quarterbacks in Denver over the past couple seasons, and now he gets Russell Wilson and Jerry Jeudy too. I mean, he's just, things haven't worked out for him perfectly yet since he was drafted a couple years ago, but he has shown flashes. And he is a terrific route runner. He just had an injury last year. And again, poor quarterback play. So I think both of those guys, I would rather have Cortland Sutton. I think he has top 15 upside. But Jerry Jeudy, I wouldn't sleep on him either. You know, I think he can be a strong wide receiver too. But Russell Wilson's going as a top 10 quarterback, and I certainly think it's warranted. That division may be the best division in sports. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's crazy. The Chargers improved defensively significantly with J.C. Jackson as a corner and Khalil Mack. The Raiders got Adams, as I mentioned, his old, him and Derek Carr had like a season together that's, you know, very video game-like. Adams flirted with like 2,000 yards and Carr threw for like 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. And those guys are going to have a rapport together. They got Chandler Jones out of the backfield. And then you still have Kansas City. You still have Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs inside that division. So it's not going to be easy for Denver and Russell Wilson, but certainly they're one of the most improved teams with that addition.
Yeah, I would say the AFC West, and the only other division that I'd say is as good is the American League East in baseball.
Absolutely.
If you just want to talk about dominant divisions in sports. As we let you go, let's see. Not enough time for my Packer question. Okay, player you are most afraid of drafting this year. Some guy who's projected high, and you look at him, and you see storm clouds coming ahead, like, you know, like some fishermen at a lighthouse where they go, storm's coming, boy. Who's the one guy where you're like, ooh, avoid him?
Oh, yeah, that's tough. I like everyone. I make cases for everybody.
No, you got to go the other way. Who's your high-end Julio Jones? You can't say Julio Jones.
Yeah,
no one's liking Julio Jones. Who's the high-end Julio Jones?
No. I think A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown leaving Tennessee and going to Philadelphia, a new system. That's exactly what the Eagles needed, an alpha wideout. And it's probably the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver they've had in years in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. But, you know, A.J. Brown is getting drafted as a top 10 wide receiver. The Eagles led the league in rushing yards last year. They played at a slower pace. They got one of the better offensive lines in football. Jalen Hurts led all quarterbacks in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. I don't feel like, you know, A.J. Brown goes from one run-heavy team in Tennessee to another run-heavy team in Philly, but there was really nothing else in Tennessee. You mentioned Julio. He hardly played in Tennessee last year because he was on the sidelines. In Philly, they have Smith. They have Dallas Goedert. You know, they have Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell catching balls out of the backfield. So it's a tough landing spot. I think it's a really good real-life move. The Eagles traded a first-round pick. They locked him up. Like I said, it's exactly what they needed. But for him, like, if he had a 27% target share in Tennessee, if he has a 27% target share in Philly, given the amount of passes that Hurts had last year, we're looking at maybe 7 targets a game. That's really rough to draft a wide receiver, you know, going ahead of Keenan Allen, who's been a 150-plus target guy in each of the past few years. So I'd say he would be the guy that I would avoid. He'd be the bust if you're looking for an Eagle. I think the only guy you probably want in that offense is Jalen Hurts, given his rushing upside.
Chris, I really appreciate it. Follow me on Twitter at Chris Meany. Always appreciate you taking the time, and we'll get you back on soon just because, well, football's right around the corner. It is a glorious time to be a sports fan.
It really is. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. We'll talk about those Packers next time. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Take care. That is Chris Meany again, host of the Mean Streets podcast, the Dangle Betselli podcast. And again, just go to FTN Network. You'll find all of his work.